The first reading this morning is from the Acts of the Apostles, written by St. Luke. One could view it as volume 2 of his collected works, his Gospel and the Acts of the Apostles. It tells the story of the early church. And there is a part of this that the first part of this reading, we could easily pass over and not catch the significance of it. Peter is preaching in a very public place, just waiting to see who would gather, and he's preaching about who Jesus is, and he says, "Let the whole house of Israel know for certain that God has made both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." And it says, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. It's a pretty profound response to a relatively simple sermon. But don't let the simplicity of the words catch you off guard. Peter's making a bold claim that Jesus is Lord and Christ. And the people who are hearing this cut to the heart, their response leads eventually to the baptism of 3,000 people that day. What is it about this simple sentence that Peter preaches that moves them so profoundly? Well, part of me wants to say, gosh, I wish I would know, and then I'd only have to give one sentence homilies. But I think the key to understanding this is the deeper meaning of the words Lord and Christ. It's easy for us to use these words. They're pretty common words when we are talking about Jesus. We can call him my Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. But I think if we pause and reflect on the meaning of these two words, what Peter is saying becomes incredibly profound. The first thing is he's using the word Lord. Now, we tend to limit this word just to speaking about Jesus. And maybe one of the reasons why we do that is our modern sensibilities as well as our American sensibilities. The word Lord implies that somebody has authority. Somebody's in charge. Could be a king, a nobleman. And even in the church, while it's not very common in the United States, a typical greeting for a bishop might be, my lord. I tried that one time with the archbishop. I said, hello, my lord. He said, don't call me that. And I said, well, then does that mean you don't have authority over me? He said, nice try. The title Monsignor is a Latin derivative that means my lord. When we use the word Lord and we apply that to somebody, what we're saying is that person has authority over me. I'm subject to them. When we say that Jesus is Lord, we're saying that Jesus has authority over me. Now, here's the hang up with this. When it comes to Jesus' authority in our own life, oftentimes we want to give him authority over certain parts of our life. We give him authority over our time at Mass. We've come here at Mass. We've given him this hour of the day. We give him authority over that. We want to give him authority over our prayer life. When we need something, we go to him and we ask for it. And we should. He wants us to do that. But there are oftentimes parts of our life that we hold back from giving him authority over. There might be wounds in our life that we find that holding on to that gives us our own personal narrative. We don't want the Lord to heal those wounds because we become comfortable with it. And sometimes it's sin. Everybody has their own favorite pet sins, and we do them because we like them, right? If we didn't enjoy our sins, we wouldn't do them. Sometimes we want to hold on to them. We don't give the Lord lordship over certain areas of our life. But here's the problem with that. If we recognize that Jesus is Lord, but we're only giving him authority over certain parts of our life, then what that's saying is really we're holding on to that authority over our life. We're the one making the decision, what Jesus has authority over. But as believers, as Christians, as Catholics, we want to give Jesus lordship, authority over every part of our life. That's how we're called to live. When St. Peter is saying that Jesus is Lord, he's telling the Jewish people that he has authority over. You crucified him. You think you have authority over him? No. he has authority over you. You are subject to him. But Peter goes on and also says that he is the Christ. Again, it's a word that we use in reference to Jesus, but stopping and thinking for a moment about what it means can help us to see why this was such a profound statement. For generations, the Jewish people were expecting the Messiah. Now, Christ is the Greek word. Messiah is the Hebrew word. In English, it means anointed one. The same thing. Christ equals Messiah equals anointed one. For generations, they were expecting this Messiah, this anointed one. And he was going to have three particular parts of his mission. He was going to unite the 12 tribes of Israel, throw off the foreign oppressors, and restore right worship in the temple. Now, they saw this primarily through a political lens, that the long-expected, long-awaited Messiah would be a king, a political leader, that his kingship would be even greater than the kingship of Solomon or David. But the kingship of Christ, the mission of Jesus as the Christ, the Messiah, goes beyond what the Jewish people were expecting. It wasn't merely uniting the 12 tribes of Israel, but uniting all the peoples of the world, Jews and Gentiles alike, Romans and Greeks, pagans from the Far East, the union of all in Christ, not the 12 tribes alone. It wasn't merely throwing off the foreign oppressors of the Roman army, but throwing off a foreign oppressor even far more deadly than that, Satan and the prince of darkness. And lastly, restoring right worship in the temple was too narrow of an understanding. The right worship that Jesus instituted wasn't in the temple, but the temple of his own body, the worship of God in the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. So when Peter is saying that Jesus is Lord and Christ, he's saying a lot about Jesus. He's saying that he's the long-awaited Messiah, the one who will restore the glory of Israel, but actually far surpass it, in the mystical body of Christ, the church. And that he's Lord, therefore has authority over each of us individually and all of the world. When Peter made that proclamation, let the whole house of Israel know for certain that God has made both Lord and Christ as Jesus whom you crucified, their response was they were cut to the heart. It moved them because they knew the power of those words. And their response is, what are we to do then? Peter calls them to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. But Peter's preaching isn't just for them. It's for us too. Centuries later, we hear Peter's words that God has made Jesus both Lord and Christ. Are our hearts moved when we hear that? Or have the words become so common we don't even realize how profound they are? And if our hearts are not moved when we hear that, we must ask the question, why? Has something grown cold in our own souls? Have we missed the profound meaning of these words? Do we take Jesus for granted in our life? Are we not cut to the heart when we hear that Jesus is Lord in Christ? There's no easy solution to that if we're not moved when we hear these words. But perhaps maybe Peter also gives us an answer to that. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If our hearts are not cut to the core with these words about who Jesus is, then maybe what we need to do is to pray for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon us. We who have already been baptized, but always in need of continual repentance, need to ask for that great gift of the Holy Spirit to come upon us again. To know that what Peter is saying changes everything. That if we profess a belief in Jesus, then what that means is he is Lord. He has authority over my life, all of my life. And he's the Messiah, the anointed one, the one who is redeeming us and bringing us to eternal life. St. Peter says those who accepted this message were baptized, 3,000 persons were added that day. What an incredible testimony to the power of Peter's simple words. May through the power of the Holy Spirit, those words resonate in our heart today. And know for certain that God has made both Lord and Christ this Jesus whom we believe in.